I'm going to start with a story this morning. Some of you may have already heard this one, so if you have, you'll have to bear with me. My four-year-old grandniece, that's the daughter of my niece, was with me recently. We were on a patio, and her older sister said to her, "Tell Uncle Scott what that thing is on your face." Now, on her face, she has this real faint birthmark. And so, she was very delighted to tell me that that's where God kissed her. And my initial response was, "Well, I want God to kiss me too." And as I was thinking about that, I thought, has God kissed us? Is that a question we're allowed to ask? Right, so I searched that one, and I found that some philosophers and people think that God has kissed our soul. Well, I didn't really find that one in the Bible. But what I did find was that in God's Word, in the King James, any guesses to how many times the word soul or souls comes up? 537. I was kind of amazed at that. And as I was looking at the word soul, I found that right in our society, we actually see the word soul all the time. The word soul was in some of the songs we sang this morning. It's funny, I see it everywhere I look now. I came across these words: a kindred soul, a living soul, a lost soul, a heavy soul, a soul brother, a soul sister, soul man, soul music, soul food, soul mate. And I came across some phrases. Maybe you'll recognize some of these. Pour out your soul. Put your heart and soul into it. Search your soul. Sell your soul to the devil. Bury your soul. Don't tell a soul. Keep body and soul together. God rest your soul. Confession is good for the soul. And here's one that we're going to talk about today. The eyes are the window of the soul. We just finished a series on 1st and 2nd Peter. And what I found in searching God's Word about the soul, we see that Peter mentioned the soul 8 times. And I thought, I don't remember whether we talked about it while we were going through Peter. I thought this would be good. This would be good for me to see what Peter had to say about the soul. And so today, during this time, we're going to review these verses that Peter had about the soul. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, there might be somebody who thinks we really shouldn't spend our time talking about our soul. It just focuses on us too much. But then I realized that Jesus said, Matthew 16:26. I think I put that one right there. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" That picture, by the way, was taken when that message was discovered on a beach, and there were people that were distressed, stranded, and they were rescued. Jesus came so that our souls could be saved. I think that's of utmost importance. It's very important. And we should know what God says in His Word about our soul. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We come in Jesus' name. We come just like we always do. We're just needy. We just need you right now. As we look into this topic about our souls, we want to know what you have to say. We have already sensed that the Holy Spirit is here right now in this room. We've already sensed that He is working in us. And we want you, Holy Spirit, to just be able to do what you want to do with us today. Speak to us. Open our ears so that we can hear. Help us to understand what it is our soul is. And when it's all said and done, we'll just give you the praise and the glory. We just appreciate the fact that we can be here in peace and just listen. Help us now to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The title of the sermon was SOS. I looked into SOS. Anybody know what that means? Save our souls. But, you know, that's actually called a backronym. I've never heard of a backronym. Have you ever heard of one of those? Right? When SOS came to be, it was actually a universal distress signal that they were trying to figure out everyone would recognize. And back then, when the Morse code, back in the early 1900s, it was dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, 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 and so on. It kept on going. And since they really didn't know what to call it, right, the letter in Morse code, dot, 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 is S, dash, 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 is O, and so it just got known as SOS. And the Save Our Souls, or the Save Our Ship, was just added to the SOS backronym. It wasn't necessarily set out that way when it started. And it's kind of like the word Mayday. Have you ever heard the word Mayday? By the way, Mayday, Wes probably knows this. How many times are you supposed to say Mayday? Three times. I'm not going to explain how that came to be. You can look that one up yourself. But it's a universal distress signal. The question, are you in distress today? And you're sitting in your seat and you're thinking, well, not really. I'm not distressed. I'm fine. And there's also an element of desperation when you have to put out a symbol like this on a beach for people to see that are flying over. You're desperate. You might think, oh, I'm not desperate today either. So that's okay. We're going to take a look at God's Word, see what it says to us. And today I want to answer three questions about our soul. The questions I'd like to answer are, what is my soul? What can it do? And why is it so valuable? So, let's get started. What is the soul? How is it different than my spirit? God's Word tells us the two words, soul and spirit, are definitely distinguished in the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word is nephesh. That's Hebrew. And in your Bible, well, we're not going to turn to these scriptures. By the way, I had so many scriptures, there's just no way that I can turn to all of them. You'll just have to take my word for it. You can flip if you're really fast, if you want to do a sword drill. But in Genesis 1:20, we see that on the fifth day of creation, God created animal life in the oceans, birds, and He designated them as having nephesh, life. And then we see that on the sixth day, man became a living soul. That's in Genesis 2:7. Now, it's the same word. The soul refers, though, to desires, appetites of the flesh and mind, and it's perhaps summed up in the word consciousness. Man was given a soul. And when you look up, has God kissed our soul, That's usually what they refer to, that this verse where God breathed into man and he became what? A living soul. By the way, your soul is your life. It's who you are. It's your life. Now, man is a triune being. We sang this morning about God being a Trinity. We see that God said in Genesis 1:26, let's make man in our image. If there's a question in your mind about whether God is a Trinity, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:14 said this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. And in the Great Commission, Jesus himself said, go you therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's Matthew 28:19. Man has a spiritual nature that is separate and distinct from the body in which it dwells. Now, as I started thinking about this triune nature of man, we see these verses. This is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, this last verse is interesting in that it says God's word divides. It divides our soul and our spirit. And the body is mentioned here in the joints and marrow. And the word thoughts and intents of the hearts are also mentioned. Today we want to tie these together. We want to see what it is God is saying about this. What's the difference between our soul and our spirit? Now, as I studied, I came across an explanation that was given in several different locations. So I haven't really identified the person, because it was universally passed around that this is the case, that the body has five distinctions, and so does the soul, and so does the spirit. And the body is what touches the material world through five senses. Anybody know what the five senses are? Sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Now, I thought, well, we can skip over that one. That one's pretty obvious. We interact with the world with our five senses. That's what our body does. But I thought, you know, it seems like music, right? It comes through one of our senses, comes in our ear hole, but it affects us in such a way that when I was sitting here this morning listening to the songs, I got a little bit choked up. Did anybody else get choked up? Yeah. I got a little choked up. How was it that a sound came through the air and went into my ear hole and made the bones vibrate and did something inside me that my soul could sense? How does that happen? As you're thinking about that one, the soul, or the gates of the soul, are the imagination, the conscience, the memory, reason, and affections. If you're taking notes, once again, the soul, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affections. If I'm going too fast, come see me afterwards. I started thinking about this one. Imagination, conscience, memory. Memory is part of our soul. I started thinking to myself, well, I had a memory this week that was kind of weird. I'll share it with you. Maybe you can relate to this memory. I was riding down the road, and the smell of the air and the color of the trees, at this time of year, they're very dark green, reminded me of when I was in grade school and what I felt inside as I thought about going back to school. Did anybody, is that kind of weird? Yeah? Does that happen to you? You'll be going along and all of a sudden you'll have some weird memory. How is it that the memory is even in there? Does it get stuck in some crevice and then all of a sudden come back? How does it come back out? How do you bring it back up? The soul. Yeah. This is what I wrote down. The soul is the essence of who we are. And when I shared this with my son, he said, well, most people aren't going to know what the word essence is. They're not going to recognize that one. And so I thought, okay, the sum total of who you are is your soul. And while you're thinking about that one, there has never been one exactly like yours. Yours is the only one. It's one of a kind. There's never been one, there's never been somebody on this earth exactly like you. There's never been the exact combination of DNA that is in you right now as you sit in your seat. One of a kind. Your soul is unique. Now, while you're thinking about that one, the Spirit, there's five things about the Spirit too. The Spirit receives impressions from material things through the soul, and the spiritual faculties are faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship. Now, Paul says about the Spirit, how do I get that to move? Can you forward that manually back there? Okay, here we go. This is what Paul says about the Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit that is in that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, as I thought about Paul and what he was saying here, he's letting us know that naturally our spirit does not connect with God. There's no connection. And our human spirit needs to be regenerated. Man's spiritual nature must be renewed before there is true conception of godliness. Only one thing stands as a guard at the door of man's spirit, and that's his own will. When the will is surrendered, the Holy Spirit takes up his abode in the spirit of man. When that transaction takes place, we will know it, because Paul tells us this in Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit does that. And for many people in this room today, he has done that for you. God's Spirit has borne witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Now, this regeneration, I said, well, where'd you get that, Scott? Oh, I got that from Jesus himself, right? You remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus? What did he tell him? You must be born again, right? Nicodemus was all confused. How am I supposed to do that? How can I get born again? And Jesus explained it to him, but it was a spiritual thing that happened. It's a spiritual regeneration that has to happen for you to connect with God. Now, this is what I wrote down. The spirit of man is the sphere of activity where the Holy Spirit operates in regeneration. The soul is the sphere where who operates? Satan. He makes his appeal to our affections and our emotions through the soul. Now you're thinking, well, Scott, you haven't explained it quite yet. I still don't know the difference between my soul and my spirit. By the way, Satan is called the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I wrote down that Satan uses our fleshly lusts to conquer our soul. Now, as you're pondering that one, one of the verses that Peter gave us, this is 1 Peter 2:11, says this, abstain from fleshly lust, which what? Which war against your soul. Right? That's what Peter was telling us, that there's a war going on for our soul right now. And it involves our fleshly lusts. The soul of man, his affections and desires are never directed towards God until the Spirit has regenerated them. Man can never love God or the things of God until he is born from above. Now, you've probably seen people with a troubled conscience or they get emotional, but they still remain dead in their trespasses and sins. When God illuminates the spirit of man with divine light, that's when man yields to God. Right? Man, he gets a new life, a new spiritual life. My guess is that right now you know whether you have new life. By the way, the message today is the gospel. This is the gospel message. And sometimes we think in our minds, why would we preach the gospel to a bunch of saved people? This I know for a fact, that the gospel does not cease when Jesus comes back. The good news is something that we are going to celebrate forever. So, in essence, when we preach the gospel, when we share the good news, it's kind of a rehearsal of what we're going to do throughout eternity. It's something that I find in my own soul when I hear the gospel. It just reinforces my faith. It does something in me. And if you're still wondering why we would do this, why we would share the gospel to a bunch of saved people, think about this. Have you ever been somewhere with some people on a Monday and the conversation turns, what did you do over the weekend? Well, I went to church. And you know what the guy talked about? He talked about your soul. You know what your soul is? Boom. An opportunity right there to start sharing the gospel with somebody else. Whenever you hear the gospel, you can just take it in and say, how can I work this? How can I use it to share with someone else? There's some things I need to share with you in regards to the body and the soul and the spirit. Some things that God's word says to us. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. the personhood, our the fact that we are a person is not about us having a body. It's about us having a soul. Let's see if this one flips. Can you switch that one for me, Bet? Here's some verses from Peter that talk about our soul in relation to our body and our spirit. Things that we should know. Your soul can be strong or it can be unsteady. It can be saved or lost. That one's not on the screen. That's James 1:21. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. Your soul can be saved or lost. We know that the human soul needs atonement. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that. Part of us, it's that part of us that gets purified and protected by the truth and work of the Holy Spirit, as we see from 1:22 in 1 Peter. Jesus is the great shepherd of your soul, if you are a believer today. Jesus is the shepherd of your soul. Now, the word, I came across the statement, there are two things that last, the word of God and the souls of men. There's probably other things that will last, but we know that God, in Mark 13:31, it says that God's word is going to stand forever. And God is telling us today, he's going to show us in many scriptures that our soul does not get extinguished. It just doesn't go away when you die. Every person you meet is an eternal soul. Every human being who has ever lived is an eternal soul. All of those souls are still in existence somewhere. Where are they? I wrote this down. I thought I would read this to you. The souls that reject God's love are condemned to pay for their own sin eternally in hell. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The souls who acknowledge their own sinfulness and accept God's gracious gift of forgiveness will live forever in heaven, beside still waters, with their shepherd, wanting nothing. It's from Psalm 23. We know that one pretty well, don't we? As we start thinking about the difference between our soul and our spirit, we should probably look at the next question, which is, what can my soul do? So, could just flip to the next slide. Here's Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Your soul has the capacity to love. Now, these verses, I don't know whether you can see it. I tried to bold it a little bit. These are all from the Psalms, which is what David thought his soul could do. Now, this isn't the sum total of everything David thought, but he said that my soul thirsts. In Psalm 63:1, there's another instance where he said his soul was thirsty. Our soul waits for the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul can forget. Oh, my soul, don't forget his benefits. My soul clings. My soul waits. As I thought about this statement, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We've heard that, us church people, we've heard that many times. How is it exactly that my soul blesses the Lord? As you're thinking about that one, right? Blessing is... right, making someone happy. How does our soul make God happy? Our soul has some capacities to do things that most of the time we're just not aware of. We don't even think of it. Do you know that fear grabs you by the soul? Right? When you're afraid, what gets afraid? Your body doesn't get afraid. Chances are your spirit is not going to be afraid unless it's, I don't know, your soul. That's where the fear comes in. And there's a verse, Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." That's a pretty good gospel verse, don't you think? Today, does that speak to you? Is your soul going to be destroyed in hell? Flip over to the next slide, please. This is what Peter had to say, that he made reference to, that our souls can stray. "For you were straying like sheep, and now have returned to the shepherd of your souls." It can stray. It can return. He mentioned Lot, who was tormenting his righteous soul. That's what we can do, too. We can torment our righteous soul with things that we see and hear. And we see in 2 Peter 2:14 that the eyes full of adultery and insatiable sin and enticing unsteady souls and hearts trained in greed are all in that realm of our soul. Those are things that our soul can do. By the way, did you know that your soul can speak to itself? If you're wondering about that one, you can look that one up in Luke 12:16-22. Jesus is relating the story. So it's not... I think we can trust him, don't you think? He tells the story of a man who says to his soul, "Soul, you're doing pretty good." That's Luke 12. You can look that one up. Is your soul strong? How do I know if my soul is healthy? I wrote some answers down to that one. How would you know if your soul is healthy? Here's one. Do you ever find yourself doing something against your better judgment? A soul not centered on God has difficulty making decisions. You struggle with decisions? Are you never sure which temptations are worth resisting and what sacrifices are worth making? Which give an indication of the healthiness of your soul. When my life is not centered on God, when your life is not centered on God, you can define yourself by accomplishments, by your appearance, by your title, or the important friends that you have. Has that given you any indication about the health of your soul right now? Now, here's one. I didn't tell Dick I was going to share this, but Dick, sorry, buddy. The eyes are the window to the soul. Did you ever know someone who just looked you right in the eye? That's what Dick does to me. As soon as I see him, he walks up and looks at me real close, right in the eye. By the way, I was sharing with somebody how I share the gospel at the rescue mission. And when I do it at the rescue mission, I usually ask God for something that's very specific. It's regard to a Bible story where the lepers were in the gate of Samaria, I think it was. They were going to die. They were starving to death. And they said to themselves, "Hey, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go over to the camp of the enemy, we might die, but maybe they'll let us live." And they go over. They find everybody gone. They sneak into a tent, they grab a bunch of stuff, and they make a stash. And then they go back and they try and gather up some more stuff, and pretty soon it dawns on them that today is the day of good news. And if we keep it to ourselves, something bad is going to happen to us. Now, I don't usually think of something bad happening to me, but I just say, God, this is a day of good news, the gospel. I want to share the good news that I found. And I didn't do it today, but at the mission, I start here and I walk all the way around the room. And I try and look people in the eye. And as I'm walking, I pray for them. And God blesses that, in my soul anyway. And I would just say to you today, if someone were to look in your eye right now and see into your soul, what would they see? Is your soul sick? Is there a sickness in there? I wrote this down. Sin eventually destroys my capacity to enjoy anything. It removes meaning. Sin distorts my perceptions and it alienates my relationships. It inflames my desires and it enslaves my will. That's what sin does. Is there sin down in there that's doing that to you? Just robbing you of the enjoyment of life. You can't even enjoy anything that you used to. This is losing your soul. All right, let's look at why our soul is so valuable. By the way, I came across a website. It was billygraham.org. And he had a sermon about the value of your soul. I thought it was just great. If you have an interest, you can jot that one down. Look that one up, billygraham.org. It was great. After telling his disciples, Jesus said this. Right, here's the verse again. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is saying your soul is the most valuable thing you have. All the wealth, possessions, position, pleasures, power one might gain is not worth the price of your soul. Our soul is valuable because we have control over it. Right? Most of the body, most of your body is genetics. You can't really change too much. You could change your diet, maybe. You could exercise. You could get plastic surgery. You could work out. But in the end, sorry, death is going to catch up to you. Right? You can't forego that. Aging. A lot of us are aging. There's no way around it. But our soul, we can change. We can change stuff in our soul. We can change our attitude. We can work and change our character. We can change our desires. We can have our mind transformed and renewed. We have control over our soul. Some control. The soul is valuable because it does not cease after death. The body dies, turns to dust. The soul or the spirit returns back to God. We find that in Ecclesiastes 12:7. 1 Corinthians 15:35 to 58 talks about our resurrection body that we're going to get. Right? Our soul doesn't die. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go in the ground. But this is what the Word also says. Right? After we die, the prospect of our resurrection body, there comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Could you put the next slide up? This is Romans 7 to 9. to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. These verses give us a frank discussion about eternal life. The soul in its resurrected body is going to bear the brunt of the judgment. Either eternal life, honor, glory, and immortality with God, or indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish somewhere else. Our soul is valuable because it required a great cost to redeem it. What price is required to redeem the souls from the wrath of God's judgment? Nothing less than the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with imperishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. As I thought about that one, it kind of boggled my mind. The blood of Christ, God's own Son, was the cost to ransom my soul. Now, even if we can't even understand or fully comprehend why this happened, we can see that Jesus had to die so that we could be ransomed, redeemed. Oh, it's so valuable because God loves us. Matthew 26:38. Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful." Jesus talking about his own soul. "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Jesus' sorrow was beyond measure. He died to save me because he loved me. And in the early remembrance service this morning, we had the verse, Romans 5:8. Anybody know what Romans 5:8 says? It talks about a demonstration. God demonstrated his own love to us. How? When we were sinners. Christ died for us. When we were still sinners, he died for us. That's how he demonstrated his love for us. How many people sell their souls? I was trying to think of a story of someone who lost their soul. Oh, and I had to go how far back? Oh, this past week. In the news. You think of somebody that had gained the whole world, owned their own island. Gained the whole world. And did what? Lost their soul. What will we give in exchange for our soul? Here's another question. What pleasures and riches of this world have you sought after that have poisoned your soul? We've got 7 minutes for the conclusion. We live on a planet of lost souls. Many place the word soul. They replace that with the word self. It's just myself. And the more they concentrate on their self, the more they lose their soul, the more sick their soul gets. A lost soul refers to its condition, not its destination. Right now, there may be some lost souls in this room. I came across, I was reading a book on souls, and there was this gentleman who was quoted quite a bit in there. His name is Dallas Willard. I wasn't sure where to put this quote. Now's as good a spot as any. This is what it says. Your eternal destiny is not cosmic retirement. It is to be part of a tremendously creative project under unimaginable, splendid leadership on an inconceivably vast scale with ever-increasing cycles of fruitfulness and enjoyment. And that's the prophetic word that eye has not seen or ear has not heard. You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. Your soul is not just something that lives on after your body dies. It's the most important thing about you. It's your life. You're a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God. One day God is going to review with us what we have done with our soul. What our souls have become. Go to the last slide. This is Acts 17:30 and 31. But now God commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Who was that? Jesus, yes. Revelation 20:11-15 says, Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what he has done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was what? Thrown into the lake of fire. So, wow, Scott, that doesn't sound like very good news. No? Today, if you are lost, oh, by the way, if your name, this is probably the most important statement in the whole thing. I almost skipped over it. Today, if your name is not written in the book and your soul is not saved, you are lost. Today, either your name is written in the book or it is not. There's no gray area there. It is or it's not. It's yes or no. And I just ask you, is your name written in the book? Yes or no? If your name is not written in the book, you are lost. Your soul is lost. But the good news, there is hope for you. I wrote this verse down. This is Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, but I also dwell with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Today, are you feeling that lowliness right now? Knowing that your soul is lost. Knowing that your name is not written in the book. God is here now. The Holy Spirit is here now. Poking you in the soul. Matthew 16:25 says, For whoever would save his life is how we all learned it. Right? The same word as soul. Right? It's translated life, but it's soul. Whoever would save his soul will lose it, and whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. David said this, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Those of us that are believers can hold on to Hebrews 6:19, which says, We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Those of us that know Christ, praise the Lord. That is good news for us. We should never cease to share the good news. today, if your name is not written in the book, and the Holy Spirit has prompted you that it's time, why go any farther? Send up the SOS right now. Lord, save my soul. How do you do that? You can come forward. We'll pray with you. With the mouth, confession is made. If God is poking you in the soul right now, now is the time. Do not walk out the door. We're done. As the worship team comes up to play, if God is speaking to you right now, and you can feel it inside your soul, please do not ignore it. Don't go another day without having your name written in the book.